us today, we're going to be in Psalms chapter number 41. And I'd like to say thank you for your generosity toward BGMC. That is something that our kids have been supporting for many years. It's a great discipleship tool. It's something that is absolutely changing lives around this world. And I just want to say thank you for being generous toward BGMC and toward our kids' ministry. Only eternity will show how our giving has impacted so many lives. With our giving to missions today, I was reminded of a quote that I read very recently, and here's what the quote says. It says, when generosity meets the gospel, it makes an eternal impact. Let me say that again. When generosity meets the gospel, it makes an eternal impact. You know, I believe this statement to be true, but let's take a little closer look at it. What does the gospel mean? It means good news, right? It means good news. I've got good news to tell you that this past weekend, your Berwick Panthers won in the playoffs. That's good news. Okay? This coming weekend, we're going to host the Iota Bulldogs, and I hope to next Sunday to report to you that they're on their way to the state championship. That's good news. Well, guys, that's good news that could change in 1 week. The gospel doesn't change. Amen? The good news that I preached last Easter Sunday morning, that the grace of God is available to every one of us, Brother Mike, it's just as true today. Amen? And it'll be just as true next Sunday and the Sunday after that. David, the grace of God that was available last week is available this week, next week, and next year. That's good news. It doesn't change. So the gospel is good news, but how many know it takes finances to spread the good news? How many know that we have missionaries all around this world that need finances, that need support to spread the good news to others? It takes finances for us as a church to spread the good news in this community. So when generosity meets the gospel, it makes an eternal impact. I believe that to be true. So you know what? This morning's message is really a pretty simple one. It's called The Blessings of Generosity. I want to talk to you for just a moment about being generous, about being a liberal giver, about putting God first and trusting that blessings will follow. How many of you here want to be blessed? Lift your hand. I think that's an IQ question. You wouldn't be in the house of God this morning if you didn't want to be blessed. We all want the blessings of God. We all want the favor of God. And guys, there are some things that we can do that can absolutely guarantee and promise the blessings of God upon our life. And I'm going to prove to you that out of Psalms chapter number 41. So let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are a good God. God, I thank you that those songs that we sung this morning are so much more than just words, God. They are absolute truth because you have been faithful. You have been good to us. You have been good to this church. You've been good to all of us, Lord. And I just ask right now, Lord, that you would help us to look at your word and help us to study your word and to grow today. I pray today, Lord God, that you would help us to realize, Lord God, how many blessings are available to us if we'll simply do what you ask us to do. Bless your people this morning. I ask all those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms chapter number 41. Psalms chapter number 41. Now, you know, you always get nervous when the pastor has a bunch of books up here, okay? But I'm really only using it to share a couple different scriptures with you. Psalms chapter number 41. We're going to begin reading verses just 1 through 3, so it's not very much. Psalms chapter number 41, I want to read first of all, out of the King James Version, and here's what it says. This is a psalm of David. Many of the psalms were written by King David. King David was an amazing man of God. In fact, the Bible says about David that he was a man after God's own heart. That's a pretty good description right there, huh? Baby, and that's a pretty good goal right there. I want to be a guy who's a man after God's own heart. And Psalm chapter number 41 was written by that guy. So let's read what he had to say. Psalms 41 verses 1 through 3 in the King James. It says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of the enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishness, and will make all his dead and will make all his bed in his sickness. Psalm chapter number 41 in the New King James says it a little more easily to understand. Psalm 41. Blessed Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness and will sustain him on his sickbed. One of my favorite versions of the Bible is called The Message. And it just really makes things so very, very simple. And I just want to read to you what Psalms chapter number 41 in The Message says. It says, dignify those who are down on their luck. You'll feel good. That's what God does. God looks after us all, makes us robust with life. Lucky to be in the land, we're free from enemy worries. Whenever we're sick in bed, God becomes our nurse, nurses us back to health. Well, what a great picture that is, huh? Wouldn't you like God to be caring for you? Wouldn't you like God to be your nurse? Wouldn't you like God to be the one checking up on you? You know, Sister Fisher is in the hospital because she broke her hip. Bless her heart. She's tough, though. She's done this before. She can handle it, okay? I went to see her, and I said, now, Sister Fisher, you've already done this. You didn't have to do it again. And she just smiled and said, well, honey, I didn't plan on it, okay? But she's in rehab now, and whenever you're at rehab, nurses come check on you, and physical therapists come poke you and prod you and make you do things you don't want to do, okay? So keep her in your prayers. But here's the thing. Wouldn't it be good to have Jesus as your nurse? Wouldn't it be good for God to be your nurse? Could God be the one? God would be the one who would help you get better? Well, that'd make you feel good, huh? Sister Gail, you've been in the hospital once or twice, and there have been some cheery nurses who've walked in the room. How would you like to see God walk in the room? Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that just change your day, okay? It doesn't matter how bad you're feeling because you're about to feel better. I mean, that would be the ultimate Dr. Feelgood, no, wouldn't it? Okay, here comes God. This would be good. Well, David has that promise that if we're generous, that if we put God first, that if we are a blessing to others, God's going to be a blessing to us. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That is something that gets me excited. That is something that's good news right there. So, guys, I want us to expound just a little bit on each one of these blessings as promised in the Word of God. So Psalm chapter number 41, it gives us several promises. It gives us several areas that God promises to bless us. And I want us to look at each one of them. Okay? So Psalm chapter number 41, the first thing that is said here is, blessed is he who considers the poor. You see, God says there's certain ways for us to be blessed. In Matthew chapter number 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, there's other statements that begin with blessed. Okay? There's certain things that we can do to be blessed. There's certain things that, certain attitudes that we can have, certain conditions of our heart that if we'll work on, God will bless us. And one of those areas is when we consider others. You know what, guys? The church, if it's about anything, it should be about others. Did you realize that this church does not exist for you? Let me say this again. I'm glad Fabian got it. Hey, this church does not exist for you. It exists for the benefit of others who have yet to become a part of this church. Amen? You know, every time we receive an offering, I receive an offering from our members. Why? Because we're trying to reach outside these four walls. We're trying to reach folks that haven't yet become a part of the family of God. That's what church is all about. So many churches make the huge mistake of thinking it's about them. And guys, if we make it about us, before you know it, it'll just be us left in here. But we need to make it about others. Why? Because God makes it about others. And in Psalm chapter number 41, David is reminding us we need to keep it about others. We need to consider others. We need to consider those that are less fortunate than us. You know what, guys? Let's be honest. We are a very blessed people, okay? We are a blessed people. We live in the greatest country on the face of this earth. Amen? Do we have some problems? Sure, but it's still the best country there is. Amen? We have an amazing country that we live in. We are blessed beyond all measure. If you need to be reminded of that, you just go on a missions trip. You just go to a third world country. You go to Haiti. You go to Jamaica, and I'm not talking the little place you go where your cruise ship stops, okay? You go beyond the walls. You go beyond the barricades, and you see poverty. You see hurting people. Guys, God wants us to see people. But guess what? You don't have to go to Haiti to see hurting people. You can see them right across the street. You sometimes it's your neighbor that's dealing with the death of a loved one. Sometimes it's a friend that's dealing with sickness. Sometimes it's a family that just had the diagnosis of cancer. Those are hurting people. Those are people that are going through tough situations. You know, I just heard this week that the principal of Berwick, his mother passed away. So please keep the Broussard family in prayer. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday at the ball game. Just told him we'd be praying. You know what, guys, whenever you lose a loved one, that's a tough time. It's a tough time, okay? Now here's the deal. He's still got to be a principal this week. He can't take the week off. He can't go hang out at his camp like he'd probably want to. And those little kids at Berwick High probably don't care that he's not having a good day. By the way, Hayden, wouldn't be a good week to cross Mr. Broussard, just say. Okay? By the way, that was my dad, and that's dad just trying to keep him out of trouble, okay? Can any parent relate? But let's pray for the Broussard family, because that's a tough situation. Had a chance to see a friend of mine yesterday at the ball game who's battling cancer. That's a tough situation. Guys, you don't have to look around the world to see need. You just have to open your eyes here. And that's what David's trying to tell us, that we need to consider others, that we need to open up our eyes and see others and see people that are in need. And he promises us if we do that, blessings will come our way. Blessed is he who considers the poor. Now, it's not enough to just consider them. It's not enough to just see them. We have to do something. We have to act. How many know that faith without works is what? Dead. But when we do something, when we give to missions like you did a little earlier, when you support missions on a regular basis, when maybe you buy a meal to somebody or you reach out to somebody in need, guys, you are being a blessing to others. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 19 and 17 that when we're kind to the poor, we lend to God. We lend to God. Seth, you ever lent to somebody and they didn't pay you back? Yeah, it happens to all of us, huh? You know, I've heard the joke before, if you lend your brother-in-law $50 and he doesn't talk to you ever again, was it worth the investment? Now, I have great brother-in-laws. Chad, I love you, okay? And you don't need my $50. I might need $50 from you, okay? But here's the deal. Here's the deal, guys. We've lent to people and they haven't paid you back. Ronnie, there's probably a few folks that owe you money today, right? Well, of course, okay? Maybe we need to start to talk about the people who owe you, okay? And we can go on. I'm not going to talk to any of my businessmen. Brother Mike, you got it. Okay, you understand, okay? There's folks that owe you something today. Here's the good news. Sometimes you'll never see that again. But when you lend to God, I've got something to tell you. He's good for it. Amen? And the Bible says that when you lend to the poor, when you give to those in need, when you give to missions, when you look and see the needs of others and you try to meet it, it gets God's attention. And you're in a position to be a blessing to others. And when you take advantage of that position, God, who's always in a position to bless us, takes advantage of his position. And when you lend to the poor, you lend to God. When you give to the poor, you lend to God. And the Bible says a reward is coming your way. I get excited when I hear God's going to reward me. I get excited when I hear that God is going to bless me. And that's what the Bible says. But it's all about us being generous. It's all about us showing generosity. So, continue. Blessed is he who considers the poor. Secondly, the Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. How many know that in this life you're going to have times of trouble? How many know that everything's not going to be a bed of roses? How many have been through some trouble just this week? How many have been through trouble this month, this year? Guys, trouble will come our way. In fact, did you know that Jesus promised trouble? Really, preacher? Yeah, he really did. In John chapter number 16, he said, in this life you will have trouble. So if you're expecting to have no trouble whatsoever, if you're expecting everything to go well, think again. Jesus himself, who made no mistakes and told no lies, said, in this life you will have trouble. But Sister Eloise, you know he didn't stop there, did he? He said, in this life you will have trouble. What did he say after that? But be encouraged. I have overcome this world. And you know what? Last week on Resurrection Sunday, we were talking about if God himself, if Jesus himself could overcome death, is there anything too difficult for him? Well, he overcame this world, friends. He overcame the troubles of this world, and you can too. Amen? He says the Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. Isn't it good to know that you got got the Lord on your side? Isn't it good to know that God's got your back? Isn't it good to know that no matter what you may be going through, no matter what your financial situation may look like, no matter what your family situation may look like, no matter how chaotic it may be at work, that God will take care of you? That's a promise. That's a promise to us as believers. That's a promise to church folk. That's a promise to us who are trying to look out for others. So I just want to challenge you guys. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep serving the Lord. Keep doing what's right, because blessings are coming your way. Secondly, verse 2 says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Now, I said this last Sunday when talking about the grace of God. Some of you are only in church today because of the grace of God. Amen? Some of you are only alive today because of the grace of God. Some of you drove your cars way too fast. Some of you acted way too foolish. Some of you got yourself in some bad situations. Can I get a witness? But the Lord preserved you. The Lord looked out for you. The Lord honored your mama's prayers. The Lord honored what little faith you had. And the Lord took care of you. Well, guys, the Bible tells us that when we're generous to others, when we take care of others, God takes care of you. That's good to know, huh? That is so good to know. God will preserve us, will keep us alive. He goes on to tell us, and he will be blessed on the earth. You know, I already asked the question, who wants to be blessed? We all lifted our hand. There's a promise that we're going to be blessed. There's a promise that we're going to be blessed on the earth. There's a little quote that says, there was a man, and some did count him mad. The more he gave away, the more he had. Guys, there's a truth to that. Those that have been serving the Lord for a long time have realized that you can't outgive God. That you can be generous, but God is always more generous. Amen? He's got a bigger ability to bless you than you have ability to bless him. It just works that way. You will be blessed on the earth. It is good to know that God's on our side. It's good to know that when we do right, blessings follow obedience. And guys, in the area of giving, in the area of generosity, and by the way, we're talking about more than just money. You need to be generous in your time. You need to be generous in your abilities. You need to be generous in just every area of your life. You know, some of you need to be more generous with your time, with your family. Ooh, it's getting quiet now, huh? You know what, guys, did you know that your family is the greatest gift that's been given you other than Jesus Christ? Sister Valley, you love your family, don't you? You love your family. You are there for your family. Guys, look, you need to be there for your family. You know, last week I had a chance to preach a message. It was kind of a little community get-together, and we were talking about the statements that Jesus made from the cross. And one of the statements he made had everything to do with family. Remember when he pointed out John and connected John with Mary, his mother? What was Jesus doing? He was taking care of his family because as the oldest son, it was his responsibility to take care of his mother. And he knew he was about to die, but he, in that moment of crisis, still took time to take care of his family. Friends, if Jesus could do that, how much more should you do that? Take care of your family. Be there for your family. It's, guys, look, so many times we forget about our family. Bless your family. That ain't even in my notes, but somebody needed to hear that. So, guys, I just want to remind you today that if you want to be blessed, you do what God says to do. He goes on to tell us in verse number 2, you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Now, some of you are in here going, I don't have no enemies. Yeah, you do. Okay? Guys, look, you don't have to live this life very long to make a few enemies. To make a few folks who just don't like you. Some people, you don't even know why they don't like you. Here's a hint. Your spirit aggravates their demons. So your good spirit aggravates their bad spirit. Really? You think so? Yeah, I know so. Okay? There are people that just don't like you. Here's a shocker. Do you know there are people who actually don't like me? I know. Gasp, huh? There are times people with the last name of Seneca don't like me. Okay? Hayden's shaking his head. Hayden yesterday wanted to go to Grand Isle. And I said, no. What was I thinking? He didn't like me very much. Okay?
Sherry, he tried to manipulate me. He tried to encourage me to change my mind. What was he thinking? Okay?
He's like, I can't believe that, Dad.
Okay? Guess what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people not liking me. As long as Jesus loves me, I'm okay with people not liking me. Amen? And you should be okay with that, too. Hey, parents, let me tell you just for a second. If your kids always love you, if they're always thinking you're the most awesome thing, you're doing something wrong. If every now and then, Seth, them kids of yours just ain't mad at you, and they kind of storm off and put that little lip out, you're doing something wrong, okay? Again, that ain't in my notes either. Some of your kids are going, Pastor, get back to your notes. But the Bible says that he'll deliver you from the will of your enemies. There are folks that don't want God to bless you. But you know what's amazing? Those folks can't stop the blessings of God. Amen? And I want to read to you something that's pretty amazing out of the 23rd Psalm. I love the 23rd Psalm. It tells us the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. But there's a little verse in Psalm 23, verse number 5, that I want to cue you into. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know what that is? That's a promise that God's going to bless you no matter what. That God's going to bless you in such a way that your enemies have to see it. And your enemies ain't going to like it. But Sister Valerie, it doesn't matter if they like it or not. God has decreed it. You know, I see in the Bible so many times that in spite of the enemies, God is able to trump the enemy's will. God is able to do more than anybody. God's able to do more to bless than any person can do to harm. Amen? So, guys, I just want to challenge you. Those of you that got a few enemies, those of you that got some folks that don't like you very much, just keep trusting God. Just keep believing God. Just keep doing what God tells you to do, and he promises to bless you. He will deliver you. He will not deliver you to the will of his enemies. The will of God will always trump the will of your enemies. Amen? And what is the will of God? Jeremiah 29, 11. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. How many want some of that? Amen? That's the will of God for your life. So it doesn't matter what your enemies want for your life. God knows what's best for your life. Verse number 3. Again, what we're talking about is blessings that come from generosity. The Bible also says, and the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. How many know we're all going to get sick? How many know that eventually you're going to get a stuffy nose, eventually these allergies that get you, eventually you're not going to be 100%? How many know that? Okay, if you live long enough, now there's teenagers going, I don't get sick. Just keep having birthdays, babe. Okay? How many know that eventually something's going to happen? You're going to get sick. We live in a fallen world. That's why sickness is in this world. But how many know that's a good promise that the Lord will strengthen when you get sick? Sister Annalee, aren't you glad to know that the Lord's able to strengthen you when you get sick? We had a chance to visit with her yesterday, and she was hurting in her neck, and my wife prayed for her, and she said a couple minutes later she's feeling better. How many praise God for better? Amen? A little better beats a little worse, right? But the Lord says he'll strengthen you when you're sick. He'll take care of you when you're sick. That's good to know. But what's the key to that? You've got to be generous. You've got to take care of others. You've got to do what God tells you to do. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness and will sustain him on his sick bed, even on his deathbed. You know, guys, I've been there on the deathbed with Christian folks. And so many times I've seen the sweet Spirit of God just take over at those moments. And guys, look, there's a big difference between the death of a believer and the death of an unbeliever. Amen? Why? Because what happens at death is so vastly different. For you and I as believers, death is not something we should fear. It's simply a doorway. It's simply a transition from this world to the next. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to what? Be present with the Lord. And how many know if the Lord is your friend, if the Lord is your Savior, if the Lord is everything in your life, there's nothing like going over and visit a friend. Huh? You know what? I went over to Bernie and Annalise yesterday on my way to Pastor Ronnie's, who bought some crawfish. And by the way, our youth pastor is pretty good at that. Okay? You ever get invited to his house, I would go. Okay? And guess what? When I saw Bernie and Annalise, I just went straight in the backyard. Why? Because we're friends. I felt no apprehension whatsoever, and Brother Bernie was working on his lawnmower, and bless his heart, I went help him. Not much, but, you know, if we really needed help, I would have called somebody who knew more than me, okay? But we're just visiting. Why? Because we're friends. There was no trepidation whatsoever. Guys, if you're friends with God, there's nothing in this world for you to fear. There's nothing in the next world for you to fear, Sister Valley, if you're friends with God. And guys, we just need to be reminded there are blessings that accompany obedience. You hear me say all the time, blessings follow obedience. It's absolutely true. Blessings follow obedience. Well, if that's true, and I believe that it is, then probably the opposite is true as well. There should be probably, if there's blessings that follow obedience, and we just read that in Psalm chapter number 41, there's probably a warning against disobedience, and that is true as well. This week in my personal Bible study, I found a story that I want to read to you before we wrap things up this morning. It's found in Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. It's called the story of the rich young ruler, okay? We're talking about being generous today. We're talking about putting God first. We're talking about all these wonderful things. Well, guess what? Sometimes people choose not to. Sometimes people choose to do their own thing. In Luke chapter number 18, Jesus told a story of his interaction with a young man who was doing a lot of things right. He was doing a lot of things well, but here's the problem. He's remembered for the one thing he wasn't doing so well. So if you have the Bibles today, turn with me to Luke chapter number 18 as I bring this sermon in for a close. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 18, it says this. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, that's a good question. It's a really good question. If you want to ask somebody who knows the answer to that, Jesus is a pretty good guy to ask. So this young man is in the right place. He's asking the right questions. He's talking to the right person. He says, "Jesus, master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him in verse 19, "Why callest me good? None is good except God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." So Jesus just gives him a simple answer. He says, these are some things you should do. Here are some commandments that the law tells you to do. Verse number 21, and he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." Now again, is he perfect? No. But it seems like this young man's doing a lot of things well. I think he was keeping the law. I think he was serious about his question. He wanted a relationship with the Lord. He wanted to be pleasing to God. He's asking the Son of God, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" So he says, "Hey, I've done most of these things, Lord." Verse number 22. "Now when Jesus heard these sayings, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very, very rich." You know, guys, it's interesting that so many times it's one thing that can keep us from a closer walk with God. So many times it's one simple thing that can keep us from a more intimate walk with Jesus. Maybe it's the need for people's approval. Maybe it's a bad relationship in our life. Maybe it's the wrong counsel. Do you realize that not every person that you allow to counsel you is telling you the truth? Do you know that some people are giving you bad advice? Do you know, Brother Matt, that not everybody has your best interests in mind? You know, some of you are allowing people to speak into your life that should not be speaking into your life. You know, I heard it said one time, don't take criticism from people you wouldn't take advice from. Let that sink in. Well, that just freed some people. Some of you have been taking criticism from people, going, "You ain't gonna get on the phone and ask them for advice." Stop letting that influence your life. But here's the deal. There are people that are influencing your life that shouldn't be influencing your life today. But guys, here's the deal. You need to allow the Word of God to influence your life. You need to allow the Word of God to change your life. Amen? And so many times there's one thing that's keeping us from a closer walk with God. Well, with this rich young ruler, Jesus knew exactly what that one thing was. He said, "Here's the problem, young man. You're still in love with money. You're still in love with the world. You're still in love with possessions. Now go and sell all that you have and come and follow me." And it says that young man's countenance just dropped. It says that he was sorrowful. He was sad because he had many possessions. I'm sure he began to think, "Jesus, do you know everything I have? Jesus, do you know how much you're asking of me?" Hey, guys, when God asks questions, he's not seeking information. He's just trying to get your attention. Okay? Let me say that again. When God's asking questions, he's not seeking information. Okay? It's kind of like when your parents ask your teenagers questions. We're not seeking information. We already know. Hint, hint, over there. Okay? We already know. We know what's going on. We're just trying to get your attention. Like, where you been last night? What you were doing last night? Any of you ever wondered, how did my mama know all that stuff? Mom, how'd you know all that stuff? Okay? She's just smiling. Okay? We mamas know. We dads know. The Holy Ghost will tell on you. Okay? But guys, look, we got to realize that God knows what you're going through. God knows that one thing that you're still holding back. And for the rich young ruler, that one thing was the very thing we're talking about this morning. He was not generous with his possessions. He had a whole lot. He was looking to just add Jesus to the equation, and it didn't work like that. Now, I've heard it said that God is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You can't just add him to your portfolio like you would a new stock. You can't it's not like another ingredient in a recipe. No, he is the recipe. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So the rich young ruler, when he heard this, was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Then Jesus continues in verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You see, guys, nothing's too difficult for God. That one thing that you've been holding back, if you'll give it to God this morning, nothing's too difficult for him. But Pastor, you don't know how precious that is to me. Guys, there's nothing that you could hold on to that's more precious than a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing in this world worth missing heaven over. There's no relationship that can trump a relationship with the Lord. Amen? I've had a bunch of relationships in my life. I've had a lot of good things in my life. And the most precious thing in my life is not sitting on that front row or sitting on that fourth row. He's residing in my heart. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we read the story of the rich young ruler? Because it's a warning to all of us that if you're not generous, if you put something above God, God knows it, and God's gonna ask you to give it up. God's gonna ask you to put him first. See, here's the thing about God. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He wants you. He wants all of you. He just doesn't want 99% of you. He wants all of you. And here's the thing. Because of what he did at Calvary 2,000 years ago, he deserves all of you. Amen? If he could die for you, the least you can do is live for him. Amen? So, guys, I just want to challenge you this morning. There are blessings that follow generosity. There are blessings that follow obedience. Continue to be obedient. Don't hold anything back from God. Give it all to him, and you will never regret it. Don't let one thing keep you from the abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and that to the fullest, that abundantly. How many have been living a little less than the abundant life? Don't lift your hand. If you've been living a little less than the abundant life, maybe it's because you're still holding on to that one thing God wants. Maybe you're still not being generous like God wants. Maybe it's something else that you're holding back. Don't let one thing keep you from the blessings of God. As Pastor Tommy comes, and I really close this time, God was very generous to us 2,000 years ago. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. You know what, guys? We serve a good God. We serve an amazing God who has been so generous to every one of us. As Pastor Ronnie said this morning, every one of us are blessed. every one of us were blessed this morning when we woke up and we breathed in a breath of air. We are a blessed, blessed people. And God expects us to be a blessing to others. God expects us to be generous. God expects us to put Him first. Last week, I encouraged all who did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to embrace God's gift of grace. And this morning, I'm going to do the exact same thing. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, stop holding back. Stop letting that be the one thing that's keeping you